Well, today we're going to once again take a look at the book of Acts, but we're going to do things a little bit different today. We've been walking through a series on Acts. We've been kind of going through chapter by chapter, but today we're going to go back to the future, okay? We're going to go back to the future, and what I mean by that is this. We're going to go back a little. We're going to backtrack here in Acts. We've been at Acts chapter 15, and we're going to backtrack here and go back to Acts 9 to talk about our future today. Did you get that? Back to the future, right? We're going back to the future. So, and here's the reason why. A couple days before the elections, I was sensing that I might need to change the direction that I had originally planned to go this week. I kind of had my outline lined out for this week, but I was just sensing that I may need to change the direction of where we go this week. And after the elections were over and after I saw the way people were responding, I felt that I needed to respond as a pastor, because half of our country was devastated and ready to flee the country, right? While the other half were ecstatic or ready to embrace the world. Maybe it's not half, maybe it's about a third and a third, right? And then there's another third that are just like, what the heck just happened, right? So the world is just kind of turned around. And anyone that knows me, though, in this process knows that I'm not big on politics in the church. I even kind of talked about that last week, because I just kind of encouraged you to vote, but I said I'm not going to share who or how because I'm not about politics. But this week I found myself getting political, thinking politically, processing politically, but my version of politics is probably different from what some people might hope for. Right? Some people are like, yeah, come on. And other people might fear, like, oh man, if he starts on, I'm getting up and walking out of this church, right? And so I think my version of politics is different from what some people might hope for and what others might fear. Because I'm not here this morning to talk about whether the right man won or didn't win. I'm not here to talk about how we should have voted as Christians. I'm here to talk about the role that we now play as Christians in our communities, in our world, in response to the elections and where we're at now. And so whether our view is positive or whether our view is negative, how do we as Christians continue to move forward and be faithful to follow Jesus regardless of whether our candidate was victorious or not? Because the truth is, who the President of the United States is does not change our mission of loving God, loving people, to extend His kingdom. And so this week, I was surprised. I mean, I knew that there was going to be stuff, and I knew people were going to be upset, but I was surprised by some of the responses I saw on Facebook and Twitter by Christians, people that call themselves Christians. Like our nation, so many Christians are divided right now. It wasn't like, oh, the Christians won and the non-Christians didn't, or the non-Christians won and the Christians didn't. It wasn't like that. We are divided, whether Christian, non-Christian. We are in this place of division right now. And I actually saw that on Facebook. I saw Christians ripping each other apart, speaking hateful words to each other as Christians, as believers, frustrated with one another. Things like, how could you have voted for that person? Or why wouldn't you have voted for that person? Etc. You know, these thoughts, these things going back. This person represents this. How can you represent that? And just these vicious things going back. I had to just quit looking at Facebook, right? I think for a lot of people, though, there was just this sense of hopelessness and fear. So much so that, apparently, did you know this, that Canada's immigration website crashed that night, all right? It actually crashed because of the high volume of traffic. People apparently were really saying that they were going to move to Canada if this happened or if that happened. as if somehow living in another country would make the problems of our world go away. Because it doesn't matter what country you live in, there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be people in leadership that don't think the way we do or do the things we want them to do. And here's the thing, if we're putting our hope in a person, then we should be worried. Because people will fail us. It doesn't matter who the person is. I, as your pastor up here at times, will fail you. People will fail us. Our hope does not come from people. And that's the thing that I want us to hear and understand more than anything today. Our hope doesn't come from people. It doesn't come from leaders. It doesn't come from presidents. Our hope comes from Jesus Christ. He is our hope. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see that as you walk up here every week. You see it on that wall. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And regardless of what changes take place in our world around us, regardless of what things are like tomorrow when we wake up, Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still in control. And for us to think that a president or a senate or the House, whether liberal or conservative, can stop the will of God, then that's just crazy. If we sit here and go, oh man, now God's will cannot move forward because of what just happened, we're crazy. We have some close friends in Newburgh that used to be on our youth staff. We love them. I actually, 10 years ago, I couldn't believe it, they came and visited this summer here at church. And they reminded me, I'm like, it was 10 years ago that I got to marry them. As my youth staff, and I performed the ceremony, and it's amazing, just a great young couple. They now have two adorable kids, little Ella and Judah, and a couple days before the election, they posted a video on Facebook of their daughter Ella singing a song, and my wife was like, oh, honey, you got to hear this, and so she played this song for me of Ella singing this song, and I think it's a song that all of us right now need to learn, okay? And so I asked them if I could share it with you today. And so we're gonna put this up on the screen real quick, and we're going to check out this song that Ella taught us.
God is bigger than the president. He's bigger than Hillary or the Donald or the people. God is bigger than the president. And He's watching after you and me. God is bigger than the president. He's bigger than Hillary or the Donald. God is bigger than the president. And He's watching after you and me.
What a sweetie pie, right? What a little sweetie pie. Ella is just a cutie. You maybe have seen her. They've come and visit every once in a while here, come and visit us, and you see her running around the church with her little brother. But I love that. God is bigger than the president, right? He's bigger than Hillary or the Donald, right, on TV. But it's just a great song and a great reminder. I think of Out of the Mouths of Babes, right? You know, this young child reminding us God is bigger than the president. God is bigger than the Senate, than the House, than the Congress, than all these things. God is bigger than these things. And there's no government or power on this earth that can stop the move of the Holy Spirit and the advancement of His kingdom. And I think that's what we have to remember more than anything. And there's proof of this. There's proof of this throughout history. The fact that government cannot stop the move of the Lord. We've been reading about it here in the book of Acts. If you've been with us through this series, as we've been walking through the book of Acts, the early church exploded under the oppression and persecution of the Roman Empire. It just exploded. The more they tried to stop it, the greater it grew, right? And in modern day today, let's take a look at China. Interesting things on China. In China, the government, we know, they've done everything possible to destroy Christianity. But guess what? Christianity continues to grow in China, even under the midst of oppression. I read an article this week that in the next 10 years, it's estimated that there will be over 160 million Christians in China. That's more Christians than anywhere in the world. It's more Christians than the United States, okay? The reality is Christianity thrives in the midst of opposition. So regardless of what your take may be on the elections or of our country, there's always hope in Jesus Christ. There's always hope in the Lord. And instead of putting our hope in politics and putting our hope in politicians, the key is we just got to keep seeking Jesus. We got to pray and seek Him. Because if we're doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission and live out His promises, then whoever lives in the White House shouldn't be important. Right? Who lives in the White House shouldn't affect our call to love God, to love people, and to extend His kingdom. Now let me say this, okay? Can the president make a difference in our country? Yes. Different presidents have done good things or bad things, you know, depending on the person, for our country. Can they help make life a little more comfortable for us? Yeah, they can, right? And they can also make things a little more difficult, right? Can they be part of the solution instead of the problem? Yes. The right president, they can be more part of the solution. It depends, okay? But first and foremost, we have to look not at the president of the United States. First and foremost, we have to look at ourselves. Are we doing our part to represent the body of Christ in our world? Are we doing our part? My pastor from Newburgh, who I love dearly, I grew so much under his leadership. He said this once. He said, "The body of Christ is not limited or contained by leaders, by nations, geography, politics, or persecution. It's driven by God's heart to reconcile the world back to Himself through Jesus Christ." I love that. The answer for this country has never been the next president of the United States. The answer for this country is the body of Christ. It's believers coming together and allowing the Holy Spirit to move and extend His kingdom throughout the world. Lives are changed. People are changed. The world is changed when they encounter Jesus. That's what changes people. This is why I want to go back to the future today. I want to go back to Acts 9. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. This is where we're going back to. You know this part well. This is right after Stephen had been stoned to death. And now Christians are on the run from this guy named Saul, right? Now we're in Acts 15, and we see this Saul who is now leading people to Christianity, who he himself is facing persecution. But it was a different time where we're going to read here. We're going back a little bit, back to the future here in Acts chapter 9. And so the Christians are on the run as Saul is out to destroy them and to end Christianity. And so we're going to read Acts 9. Verses 1 through 20, and then I'm just going to share a few things with you this morning. This is what it says. "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way," that's what they were called first before they were called Christians, "whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Paul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man, all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. When we read this scripture, we can't help but wonder, what were the disciples thinking about this man, Saul? What were their thoughts about him? Here's a guy that was doing everything in his power to destroy them, to abolish Christianity. They had just seen him stand there and give the order to stone Stephen. But here's the thing we have to realize about Saul. Saul was just doing what he thought was right. We have to understand that when we look at our world and we look at people around us. Because the thing is sometimes people are just fighting for what they think is right. Saul wasn't an evil man. As a matter of fact, he was a very religious man, right? In his eyes, Christianity was evil. It was coming against his religion. It came against everything he was taught to believe in growing up in the church himself, in the synagogues. That's why he wanted to get rid of it. He thought he was doing the right thing. But it wasn't until he encountered Jesus that he saw the light. Literally, right? Literally saw the light as it blinded him. And so let me share with you why I chose this scripture and what I think that we can take from it today. The fact is, Saul was definitely wrong in his persecution of Christians. But he didn't realize that until he encountered Jesus. Until he had that encounter with the Lord. The key is that Jesus revealed the truth to Saul. Jesus himself was the truth. And the thing that I think we need to understand as we face division and difficulties at this time in our nation is that Jesus himself is the answer. Jesus is the answer. When we look at the presidency and the humanity of people, guess what? Jesus is the answer. When we look at government and all of its problems, guess what? Jesus is the answer. When we look at the economy and the struggle of people just to survive, guess what? Jesus is the answer. You guys getting this now? You processing with me? When we look at the future of the United States of America, Jesus is the answer. When we look to the future of the church as a whole in our country and throughout the world, Jesus is the answer. When we look at the future of this church, of Dallas Four Square Church, the same is true. Jesus is the answer. Bottom line, Jesus is the answer. He's the one we have to turn to. And so what does that mean for us? And how do we respond to the world around us with that in mind? And here's what I think. I think it means instead of complaining or especially posting on Facebook or Twitter nasty things about our politicians, about our government, about this or about that, I think it means that we should be praying for them. Praying that, like Saul, they encounter Jesus. That our government and our leaders encounter Jesus. Instead of doing these things, we need to pray. Philippians 4:6 tells us, worry about nothing, but what? Pray about everything. Pray about everything. I wonder how different our government would be if we spent as much time praying about our politicians and the government as we do bad-mouthing them and talking about them. And that one hits me because I know I've been there. I can say I can bad-mouth just as good as anyone else in this room. But what if instead of doing that, what if we just prayed? What if the people of God literally did what it says to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, because then He'll come and He'll heal our land, right? Now the fact is, or the fact that Jesus is the answer also means if the politicians and government aren't going to be the change, then we need to be the change. We're really good, again, at just pointing out the failures of others, pointing out others' mistakes, and failing to see where we're falling short, where we need to step up and do our part. And that's the question. Are we doing our part? What are we doing? What are we doing to make a difference besides putting things on Facebook to just anger more people? What are we doing that really makes a difference? I think it also means we need to be seeking Jesus on a regular basis and encountering Him. Because a lot of times we try to speak as if it's the Word of God, but we haven't even asked the Lord Himself if it's the Word of God. I've heard many people try to speak as if they're speaking of the Lord, and they haven't even asked God if that's true. Are we spending time encountering Jesus, operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, so we're truly speaking His words, His love, His grace? Because when we encounter Jesus, truly encounter Jesus, guess what? Our perspective changes. Once Saul encountered Jesus before he was Paul, his whole life and purpose changed. When he encountered Jesus on that road, his life and purpose changed. Verse 20 says, At once, after all this, once he went through and realized the truth, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. One moment he's killing Christians, and then he encounters Jesus. And now he is a Christian. And now he's speaking truth, and he's speaking life to those around him. When we encounter Jesus, our lives are changed. When we spend time with Jesus, when we seek Him and pray and open up His Word, our lives are changed. And then, as our lives are changed, when we let His light shine through us, there's the potential for the world around us to be changed. And so this morning, my challenge to us is this. As we look to the future, whether this week's elections ended with our desired outcome or not, my encouragement is, let's not put our hope in people, but instead put our hope in Jesus and do our best just to seek Him and have grace for those around us. To not just lash out at people when they have opinions that are really because that's what they believe. And we have to let them have those opinions and just love them and share with them in love our hearts and our desires. Because whatever the situations we face, whatever the doubts or fears that we may experience, whatever hopes or desires that we long for in our world, in our nation, in our communities, we can't forget the fact that Jesus is the answer. And as you walk out of this place today, let that resonate through your head. Jesus is the answer, regardless of what happens. Because you know what? We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know. We are fortunate. We have lived in a country that has had freedoms and that we don't have to worry about some of those things that other countries have to worry about. But we don't know what tomorrow will face. And if those things begin to happen, Jesus is still in control. And we still have to look to Him. We still have to seek Him for the strength to move forward in whatever we face in this world. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. Thank You so much that, Lord, regardless of what goes on in the world around us, we can trust in You. And it's hard at times, Lord, when our world goes through things that we're not used to. When we as Christians actually struggle with things that we didn't used to struggle with. Lord, when we face fears and doubts, Lord, it's hard and it's challenging, but we're so thankful that we can turn to You. We're so thankful that we can know that You're with us regardless of what we face in this world. And Lord, we're so thankful that when we look at the future, it's not a president who's going to save the world. You already saved the world. You are the answer, Lord, to anything we face and anything we come up against. And so, Lord, we want to learn, what does that look like for us as Christians? How do we share truth? How do we speak in the way that we need to? How do we be lights that shine bright for You, but also do it in grace, Lord Jesus? That we don't become more of the problem, Lord, but we become part of the solution of learning to love God, love people, and see Your kingdom extended. And so, Lord, we just pray as we move forward, Lord, over the next weeks, months, year, that, Lord, You help us as Christians to be faithful to do what You've called us to do, which is to seek You daily, Lord. To seek Your will, to seek Your way, to seek Your hand upon our lives. That we may be faithful to do what You've called us to do. To be the lights that You've called us to be. To be that hope of glory to the world around us, Lord Jesus. Not in a condemning way, not in a way that pushes people away from You, Lord. We talked about that last week, Lord, legalism. Legalism in the church, it pushes people away from You. We want to be about Your grace, about Your love, about Your goodness, Lord, so that people can be drawn to You, that people can encounter You in the way that Paul encountered You, Lord, that people can experience the truth of Jesus Christ. And Lord, in that too, we all are messed up. We all think we know what's right. And none of us have that perfect, Lord. All of us have our flaws. And Lord, in that, may we walk in grace. May we walk knowing that maybe what we think isn't always right. Maybe there are other people that know things that we don't. And that we would be open to that, Lord. Open to just Your voice in our lives, Lord. And so we just, we give You, Lord, our lives. We give You our country. We give You our future, Lord. We know that You're the answer, and we just want to do our best to seek You in all that it is, Lord. And we thank You, and we just praise You for that. We give these things to You. May You allow them just to penetrate our hearts today, Lord. Those things that each of us needed from today, Lord, may we grab hold of those things and press forward in being who You've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.